Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:32 PM. That is Central Time. Today is August 2nd. I thought we'd kick off with Treasury yields. They're down about, just less than 4 basis points, but still contracting. And off the lows, but this is still a downtrend overall, and it's still reasonably consistent. So we still have a sequence of ranges, one below the last, and resistance being found in the lower side of the overhead range, and that's been true now for months. So that consistency will have to break in order to really challenge the trend overall and to signal a return to supply dominance. And of course, there's a reason why yields are contracting. The USA's budget office anticipates that the deficit requirement for next year will contract from about $3 trillion to $1.2 trillion. So that's a significant improvement in the economy that's being priced in. But it's also pricing in the significant scope that the additional spending measures deployed during the pandemic are going to unwind. And that represents a significantly fewer bonds that need to be issued, but also it's a loss of liquidity for the wider markets. Well, bond yields are contracting because the anticipation, at least among investors, is that if the US government is going to be issuing fewer bonds and the Federal Reserve is continuing to buy them, well, then that will create a supply deficit, and that should contribute to a contraction in yields. So then, of course, that is going to bring the question of tapering front and center. And that's where the Delta variant comes in. Because we might argue that we're in the Goldilocks phase of the pandemic, where there is a risk from the Delta variant. And it's widely publicized and increasingly well understood, and that it is something that is a threat to the economy, and therefore it would be rather dangerous for politicians and central bankers to remove accommodation when faced with that threat. At the same time, the market is not responding to it to any measurable extent, because we are not in the first quarter of 2020. This is a very different environment. We have vaccines, we have treatment regimes, we have a better understanding of what we face. And therefore, the virus, despite the risk, has less opportunity to, in fact, affect sentiment. So when we think about the stock market, it really is all down to just how much the Federal Reserve will taper and when they will taper. The stock market now has been completely inert, at least the S&P has, for this last 6 consecutive sessions. It has gone absolutely nowhere. It's been hovering here around the 4,400 point level. And these periods of extremely inert trading, they don't last indefinitely. And when we look back at these other similar periods, they have coincided with declines. And we had another one there. It was just a brief pop on the upside before we had a decline. Again, in April, a very inert period of trading followed by a decline. And then I think it's particularly relevant to contrast this with what's happening with the VIX index, because the VIX is trending higher. Now, it's choppy. There is no question of that. But the VIX index is certainly rising over the month of July, and it was in positive territory again in here today. Well, what that suggests to me is that we are due another pop on the upside, and we've had really impressive advances for the major indices. If we simply look at the NASDAQ 100, then it's really done spectacularly well over the course of the last 15, 16 months. And if we just zoom in on that, well, the price went up a lot 2 weeks ago, and then it's been easing over the course of the last six or seven sessions. And there's still a sequence of higher reaction lows. There's still a sequence, a number of ranges, one above the last, but the upper side of the underlying range is around 1400. Excuse me, 14,000. So it wouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibility that that level be tested, and that would then coincide with the region of the trend mean. The Apple share price has continued to hold the breakout to new all-time highs, so that is still relatively positive, despite the fact that it's not following through on the upside. Then, of course, Amazon had pulled back rather sharply last week, and it failed to rebound in here today. Well, at least that suggests to me that there's potential here for some additional weakness and potentially a retest of the 3,000 level. So I think that certainly risks of another bout, however short-term in nature, of volatility have increased. And of course, investors have been conditioned over the course of the last year to buy the dips, and those dips have become successively smaller. We haven't had a pullback of more than 5% at this year, and I think we have to go all the way back to October. So then we would really need to see a catalyst to suggest that that particular portion or rhythm of the market is going to change. And that potential catalyst is liquidity. So if the bond market is beginning to price in the potential that the US government's deficit is going to contract by almost $2 trillion next year, well, that's a significant withdrawal of liquidity from the market and additional spending power. And that's then obviously contrasting with the continued decline in yields and what that means for borrowing costs and the availability of liquidity to anyone who wants to go and borrow money. So there are two portions to this question. And then, of course, we can think about the gold price, because if the US government is going to be printing less, well, then that should support the dollar overall. But of course, it's not as if they're certainly going to be reversing a deficit. They're still going to be running trillion-dollar deficits. It's just not going to be a $3 trillion deficit. The price of gold continues to hover here around the $1,800 area. There is the clear potential that what we've seen recently is a higher reaction low. And if that is indeed the case, well, then the price will continue to firm from here and it will push away from that $1,800 area. On the other hand, if it fails here and takes out the low put in right at the end of or the end of June, well, that will then hold out the prospect of a retest of the lows. So we're at, I think, a critical juncture here for the gold price. And then, because of this risk from the Delta variant, and most particularly because it's now focused on places like China and some of the high growth markets for demand for oil, well, the price is continuing to pause here around the $80 area. And some of that is because of the Delta variant, but a lot of it is because OPEC released some of its excess supply from the market, and there's the potential that they will release more. Then we also know that the $70 to $80 area is economic for a broad swathe of the alternative supply sources, most particularly onshore domestic US shale. So they were hedging activity around the 50, even $60 areas, and they're only just starting to break even now, but they're certainly not losing money. And they will continue to pump as long as they can do it profitably. So I think, and I remain very much of the view that it's unlikely we're going to see oil prices surge through the $80 area unless there is a clear catalyst. And that would potentially be that OPEC decides they're going to continue to restrict their supply, or it might mean a war. or something to that effect, but it would have to be a significant catalyst in order to drive prices up and out of this range. So while gold prices are stable and oil prices look susceptible to some additional weakness, we've certainly seen continued upward pressure in some of the grains and beans, and wheat in particular has got this very long-term rounding characteristic to its chart pattern, and it continues to firm from the region of the trend mean. Then we can think about the soybeans price, and I'll just look at an individual future in here. So it is steadying at least in the region of the trend mean. There was a lot of talk, or at least there were a number of news stories over the weekend about the lean hogs market, where animal welfare rules that have been put into place in California are going to have an untold impact upon the pig production industry, which is not in fact centered in California. So it's going to contribute to higher costs overall. The drought that's happening in the western portion of the USA is also contributing to higher tomato prices. So then the question is for some of these consumer companies like Kraft Heinz, are they going to be able to pass on the full uptick in the cost of producing things like ketchup and pizza sauce? So Kraft Heinz is right in the region of the upper side of its base formation and testing the region of the trend mean. Tate & Lyle, as a major producer of ingredients and sugar, is firming, or at least steady, in the region of the trend mean, and still in the region of the upper side of what is a 5-year range. When we think about other food ingredients companies, Glanbia is continuing to pull away from its base formation. So certainly we have some evidence of these consumer companies being able to pass on the higher commodity prices. And of course, this is contributing to the perception of inflation among the wider investment community and certainly among consumers. And of course, then the contraction in yields against that background is puzzling for a lot of people. But as long as the supply and demand argument is in favor of the bond markets, well, then that will be a limiting factor in the continued advance in yields. Then we continue to see that the Delta variant is rising in China. So they are, on the one hand, locking down various portions of the country in different cities, but they're also trying to support the stock market, and not least because of the risk of capital flight as a result of the crackdown on a large and increasingly large segment of the stock market. So the CSI 300 was in positive territory in here today and rebounding from the short-term oversold condition. The Hang Seng was also in positive territory. But I think it's also worth highlighting that it's very government-favored sectors that are leading the way higher. So BYD was up over 8%, and that has continued to be one of the better performing shares in the Chinese basket. So when we think about, well, what is it that the Chinese government wants? Well, they want batteries, and they want to have a domestic semiconductor sector. So those are the sectors that people are migrating to. In other words, they have the favor of heaven. And as long as that remains the case, well, what we're effectively seeing in the Chinese markets is a rotation. And it's away from the kinds of sectors that have served their purpose from a political perspective and towards those that have yet to fulfill their potential from a political perspective. So that is contributing to a significant rotation within the various portions of the market. Then I think it's also just worth keeping an eye on the kinds of companies that stay out of the public limelight, but also have contributed to underperformance. Because Kweichow Muay Thai is not a technology company, it's a brewer. But it has been among the most favored by the Communist Party officials. And yet the share has fallen back in exactly the same way as a lot of the technology companies. So we're certainly seeing a rotation, and those types of shares that accelerated higher in 2020 are now susceptible to a period of underperformance overall. I just want to cough, excuse me. So now when we think about the outlook for the currency, well, the renminbi was pretty steady over the course of the last 2 days. It has completely unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. So now the question is, are they going to allow the currency to appreciate further in order to deter the risk of capital flight? And I suspect that that will be the case. Then we can think about the euro. So the euro has started to strengthen, and peripheral growth is certainly picking up. When we think about everything that we're hearing about the Delta variant and its spread in Asia, and the risk that it represents, and how quickly it spreads in a manner akin, or perhaps not akin, but as swiftly as chickenpox, well, obviously, all of those things are extremely worrying. And they're going to be something that most people and most families are talking about right now. But this is a very different environment, and we certainly have solutions and we have treatment plans, so it's not quite the same as what we had back in 2020. And what it suggests, therefore, is that there will be a doubling down on vaccinations in order to achieve the political goals of getting people vaccinated, and in order to then have a rationale for opening up the economy more fully, and this is true just about everywhere, well, then it means that there will be vaccine mandates, and there will be an effort to try and get as many people vaccinated as possible. And that will serve the political imperative of fulfilling the promise, which was that when the majority of people are vaccinated, then economies will open back up. We're not there quite yet. And then, of course, there is the challenge that the Chinese vaccine is less than optimally effective. So they've inoculated a large percentage of the population, and they may have to do it all over again. Well, then, that's something that may weigh on the perceptions for travel. So, when we think about the airlines, they have been resurgent over the course of the last few months, but now they are pulling back, and this is going to be a challenge because international travel is a major money spinner for the sector, and it got right back up to test the lower side of that overhead trading range, and now it has broken below the trend mean. So we're in a more risky environment for the travel sector and also for the hotels sector. And what it suggests is that we're perhaps going to get more of a rotation. So there are questions about liquidity and there are questions about the virus, and those are mutually not compatible. So if there were rising worries about the virus, we should see that there should be increasing potential for liquidity provision. And at the moment, that's not quite in the outlook. So therefore, I think in the short term, we do have potential for some consolidation at least, and that should move the needle in terms of perceptions about when tapering might in fact occur. So I think with that, I'll leave you for today, but I'll wish all the best to all of you.